And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I have reported, of course, on the California Supreme Court decision allowing gay people to have the same right to marry that, hey, straight people do. Now, in this audience, it may not be that controversial, but already there is a movement started to overturn the California Supreme Court, to use the process of amending the California Constitution to amend that decision out of the law. In fact, the way the California Constitution works and what makes it so different from the Massachusetts Constitution is that a vote of the people can make a constitutional amendment. Some have wondered why the Massachusetts Supreme Court decision was not brought to a vote by the people, and I'll tell you why. In the eastern states, it is harder to amend the Constitution of the state constitutions rather than the western states. In Massachusetts, for example, it requires two successive votes of the legislature. They need at least 25%, which may not seem like much, but they need 25% in two separate legislatures, and then it goes to a vote of the people. And they want two separate legislatures on purpose. They want to make it harder to amend the Constitution. And the idea is that people's passions may be aroused by a certain decision, but that, 2 years later, 4 years later, their passions may change, they may cool. So in Massachusetts, for example, 25% approved of the constitutional amendment, but in the second successive legislative session, they could not get 25% of the legislature, and so in Massachusetts, there will be the right of gay people to get married for at least till 2012, even if opponents were to succeed at that point. In California, it's a lot easier to amend the Constitution. It only requires 8% of those that voted in the prior gubernatorial election to get it on the ballot, and then it just takes a majority, a simple majority, to amend the Constitution. And already they have gathered up 1 million signatures, enough, if verified, to put it on the ballot. But who are these people that don't believe in equal rights for all, don't believe in equal rights for the citizens of California? Well, we mostly know them as those on the religious right. And I'm going to invite one of those proponents on the air to explain his view. I suspect he's ready for a challenge, and he should be. His name is Bruce Hawkins. He is the executive director of the Policy Issues Institute. His bio describes him as a highly skilled political strategist. But what's most interesting is the people he has worked for. They are not merely Republicans, but the most conservative and religiously conservative of the lot: Pat Robertson, Pat Buchanan, and Mike Huckabee. He was very active in all three of their campaigns, and he is now on the speaking tour opposing the California decision. Bruce Hawkins, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, welcome. I appreciate you having me on. This is great.
It's
almost like Air America.
Well, it is. It is. Only I think I'll be a lot tougher on you than they would be. But I appreciate your willingness to face the fire. Just kind of think of it as Daniel in the lion's den, and I think you'll be ready to go. But first of all, and I'll give you the first word here, why is it that you oppose equal rights for all Californians?
Well, I do support that, actually, but that's not what this is. This is an intrusion on other rights. This isn't a California. They all have civil rights. Everybody in America has the same civil rights. This is an addition that goes well beyond that.
Really? Now tell me, you said it's an intrusion on other people's rights. The California Supreme Court held that no one involved in a marriage, no heterosexuals involved in a marriage, would have their marriage in any way limited or reversed or destroyed or harmed in any way by letting gay people also get married. Do you think that straight marriages are harmed if gay people can get married too?
You know what? I don't think that my marriage would be.
Whose marriage would be harmed?
Your marriage would be. I don't think yours would be. But I think society's standards would be impacted. And it's the kind
Tell
of
me
thing,
how.
It's the kind of thing that takes place over time. And I think you've already seen it. Conservatives have been crying out about a slippery slope for a long time. Actually, liberals on different issues have been too. And I suppose we've both seen them come to fruition. And that's where the harm comes in. First, it's gay rights. Second, it's gay marriage. Third, it's gay adoption. Fourth, it's the impact of children, the fallout that comes from it.
Soon you'll be almost treating gay people as if they were Americans with equal rights. Boy, that would be an awful thing, wouldn't it?
I think they already have equal rights.
Well, you just said they shouldn't have children. They shouldn't have adoption.
Something that they're asking that goes beyond. When you have a concept of marriage that's been true for thousands of years, and to tinker with it just for fun and just to and to change the terminology that you're using of equal rights, they have the right to get married right now. They just choose not to get married. Rather, they want to extend that right to something that marriage is not.
Well, Bruce, there's so many things I want to take apart in what you just said, but let's start with the last, and then we'll go to the first. Who do you think gay people should marry? Should they marry straight people? Do you think that's really good to promote gay straight marriages?
Well,
Would you want your daughter to marry a gay man, your son to marry a lesbian? Would that be really good for them, you think, for the couple?
What do you think? Do you think the gay man would want to marry a straight woman?
No, I don't think so, but you want to force him against his will to do that, right?
No, I don't.
No? Okay, so you don't want him marrying straight people?
So.
What if you don't want gay people to marry straight people? You don't think that's a good idea? Because I think it ruins marriages.
What I think is that anybody today in America has the right to get married.
Okay, so are you advocating gay people marrying straight people?
You don't have a right to get married to a dog. You don't have a right to get married to a horse.
So you're saying gay people are like dogs and horses? I mean, because, slaves are three-fifths of a person, but I guess gay people don't even rise to three-fifths. Wow. So gay people are like dogs and horses. That's what you're saying.
You support slavery, I guess, huh?
No, not at all. I think that every person has equal human worth and dignity.
You use slavery as an example. And
right. I use it as an example because you said that gay people are like dogs and horses.
I've used other things as an example, and then you've launched into that I'm calling them pigs and horses.
Well, I'm just saying, if you think that the right of a gay person to get married is equivalent to a person marrying a dog, then you're saying, in effect, that gay people are dogs. Otherwise, you'd have to agree with me that it's a very stupid analogy, right?
No, I would say it's a great analogy, and it analogizes the slippery slope that we're talking about. And I think you're just playing with words, and that's why I'll play with them too. And I'm saying that it sounds to me like you're in favor of slavery.
No, what I'm saying
Under
is that actually calling
that
people
use,
dogs and dogs and horses is worse than even having slavery. Because hey, we had to treat slaves better than we treated dogs and horses.
I didn't call them dogs and horses, but I will say that what the gay populace wants to do is move beyond their civil rights and ask for something different than what anybody else has.
Really? Let me ask you this. The California Supreme Court ruled, this is a direct quote, "The right to marry is the right to join in marriage with the person of one's choice," unquote. Agree or disagree?
Oh, I would disagree if it translates into what exactly it does translate into.
And well, okay. The opinion
about,
where they ruled this, by the way?
They're not talking about I can marry Cindy or I can marry Lucy. Or what they're talking about is if I want to marry Steve.
Actually, they weren't. The California Supreme Court. This California Supreme Court decision I just quoted from, which says, quote, "The right to marry is the right to join in marriage with a person of one's choice," was a California Supreme Court decision, but it wasn't rendered in 2008. It was rendered in 1948, and it's called Perez v. Sharp. And in that decision, California became the first state in the United States to strike down miscegenation statutes, to strike down a statute that prohibited people of different races from getting married. They were the first state in the country to do so, and the dissent was very angry. They said, no, the legislature passed the law. You should respect the will of the legislature. Why go out on a limb? 30 states prohibit blacks and whites from marrying, and the state Supreme Court, the dissent argued, went way beyond the bounds. And in fact, it wasn't until 10 years later that the second state held that that miscegenation statutes were unconstitutional, until finally the Supreme Court so held in 1967 in Loving v. Virginia. Here's my question for you. Was the 1948 decision, Perez v. Sharp, the right decision or the wrong decision in your view?
Well, you know, I hate to say, but that was a set-up question, a trick question. It was very similar worded to the one that just happened. And so, no, I agree with that one.
You do? Why? The legislature said that they don't want race mixing. In fact, the dissent gives scientific study after scientific study.
I didn't say the legislature. I said I agreed with the court decision.
No, I understand, but I don't understand the distinction. I mean, why would you think that the court could overturn the will of the people? After all, the court didn't say that blacks couldn't marry at all. I mean, you've said basically, you know, gays, if they don't marry straights, I guess they can't marry at all. What the legislature simply said is that blacks can marry blacks and whites can marry whites, and that ensures the purity of the white race. And that's what the people of California voted for. Why was the court correct in Perez v. Sharp to overturn the will of the people?
Well, I think we all have fundamental basic human rights, and all the court was doing is saying it's okay, apparently, I haven't read the case, it's okay for people to marry in between colors. A black person can marry a white person and vice versa. That is totally different. A black man marrying a white woman, a white man marrying a black woman, that is completely different than two males marrying or two lesbians marrying.
But isn't it a case of judicial activism where the people of California...
Yes, it is a case of... the current one is a case of judicial activism.
In 1948 it was too, wasn't it?
The previous case was a case of human rights that are very fundamental, that are the whole foundation of the country. That would be the Declaration of Independence, dealing with life and liberty. This is totally different today. This goes well beyond liberty.
It does, because it seems to me that the Perez v. Sharp also
said it would go to what we'd call license. There's a lot of rules in society that keep society safe for everyone. And, you know, like, for example, you can't go shooting people just for fun. You can't burglarize people's houses. You can't steal their stuff.
So allowing two people
to love each other. With that again, you're going to make that analogy again, and I'll go back to the one where I think you're promoting racism or you're promoting slavery.
So we agree that it's a silly analogy to compare two gay people who love each other and want to get married to marrying a dog or to shooting or killing someone. Why don't you give an analogy that you think is a good analogy?
Those are good analogies, but you're extending the analogy to say that the gay person is an animal, and I didn't say that.
Well, no. Okay, here's what I want to understand, okay? Shooting someone harms them. All right. I think it's fair to say that if you kill someone or you shoot someone, you harm them. All right. I mean, let's just be very basic here. How do two people who love each other? How do two people who love each other and want to get married, and how does that harm anybody?
In my mind, there's lots of laws that have nothing to do with one person harming another, but do have something to do with harming yourself. Now, I'm not a big proponent of motorcycle helmets, but the purpose of those laws is to prevent you from harming yourself.
But why aren't you a proponent of motorcycle helmets? Because you think that people should have the right to make decisions, even if they're stupid decisions, without government interference? Isn't that what a conservative believes?
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't...
You know what? I'm glad you brought this up. To some degree, I think the whole debate that we're talking about, let's, instead of arguing for a moment, reason together. The whole debate that we're talking about is because government has intruded into the world of marriage and provided loads and loads of benefits that and restrictions that gay people don't have. So you would support removing civil marriage from the books? No, I didn't say that. To some degree, I fully understand why they're seeking what they're seeking. Okay, if it was just a financial issue, I'm following that. I track with it and understand. My solution to it would be maybe to consider getting rid of those benefits that come along with marriage and make it an equal playing field. I think then what you'd see is that marriage would be back to its proper perspective, and that there's no motivation to get married for a gay person other than social acceptance. And that is the core of the issue right there, I believe. I don't believe it has to do with finances. I believe it has to do with social acceptance. And that just means that we have a different opinion. You think that it's legitimate and should be socially acceptable, and I don't. It's as simple as that.
I think the difference is that I believe that the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution and a similar amendment to the California Constitution says that the government has to give all its citizens equal protection under the law. And I think that it's good to
they
treat citizens
that,
equally rather than second-class citizens.
They have that. They have
okay, who are you saying gay people? You just you haven't made clear. You're saying gay people should marry straight people or shouldn't? You haven't said. Which is right?
Well, if I was a gay person, I wouldn't marry a straight person.
Okay.
But if I was a gay person, I wouldn't expect that marriage between a man and wife should somehow be granted to me just because I want it.
Okay, so if you were a gay person, you would advocate that all gay people never get married, right? To anybody. You would say that if you're straight, you have the right of marriage. If you're gay, you don't. Right?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Okay, so what you're saying, in effect, is that there's certain rights that are available to straight citizens that are not available to gay citizens.
I love that.
Including the right of marriage.
How you're spinning this, but I've said over and over again that a gay person has the right to get married right now.
To a straight person only.
Exactly. No, well, okay. Not necessarily to a straight person. So you advocate
gay men marrying lesbians? Is that what you advocate?
Exactly.
I'm just trying to understand it. You think that's what needs to happen?
A man and a woman can be married. It's their choice to be gay, number one, and it's their choice, number two, not to follow the rules, so to speak.
Okay, now, does it bother you at all that all of science says you're wrong on this choice thing? I mean, I realize there are some weird wacko scientists out there, but if you read the case of Perez v. Sharp, I could read to you 100 things in the dissent where it tells you that blacks are inferior to whites and we can't sully the white race.
Do you believe man causes global warming?
Yes.
Okay, well, there's 31,000 scientists that just came out and said no. They don't.
And there's 30 million scientists that say yes. So, you know,
no,
sometimes
not.
You have to look at the weight of opinion. But let's get back to the issue here, because what I'm trying to understand is this. You think that the California Supreme Court was correct in 1948. Now, in 1948, blacks could marry blacks. They were not precluded from marriage entirely, like you think gay people should be. Whites could marry whites. They simply didn't want race mixing. They weren't banning marriage.
Wrong. Yeah.
Why was that wrong?
It was the same. It was wrong for the same reason that slavery was wrong.
Why?
In other words, it did not treat a person like a full person, and people
okay.
are people, no matter what the color.
Okay, and are gay people people
no
too?
Hmm?
Are gay people people
yes,
too?
Yes, they are. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Should they be treated the same, someone be treated the same whether they're gay or straight? Should I be allowed to fire someone just because I don't like the fact that they're gay, for example?
Well, I think so, yeah.
Yeah? Why? Even if that's nothing to do with their job.
I do think so, because I think I think a business owner should be able to own their business and run it any way they choose.
Let me ask you this. In California, and I've been doing a lot of research on this, in 1964, there were a number of housing decisions that said that you couldn't discriminate in housing based on whether someone was black or white. If someone applied and wanted to rent your room in your house, you couldn't say, no, I won't have you there because you're black. Interestingly, the people of California amended their constitution in 1964 in something called Proposition 14, and by a vote of more than 65% to 35%, 2-1, 4 million to 2 million, the California voters overruled that decision of the California Supreme Court, passed an initiative, amended their constitution to say you can rent to whoever you want, you can sell your property to whoever you want, making it clear if you want to rent based on racism, you have that right. The California Supreme Court did them one better. Even though the people of California passed this constitutional amendment, in 1964, the California Supreme Court said, sorry, you still can't do it because it violates the Equal Protection Clause of the United States. And they overruled the constitutional amendment using the U.S. Constitution. I don't know if you're aware of that precedent, are you?
I'm familiar with that series of cases, but not terribly familiar. I haven't read it in ages.
I'm just curious to know what your view is on that. Should the people be able to, should a majority of the people in voting or in their legislature be able to say, we don't like a particular minority, you have less rights than the rest of us?
Well, I don't think, number one, that's what they're saying. They were saying, well, how about if I say it a different way? First, I think that it's totally legitimate for that.
What's totally legitimate? I just want to understand what you're saying. What's totally legitimate? I wasn't clear.
Yeah, I think that it's completely reasonable for somebody who doesn't want to rent to somebody, no matter how despicable the reasons are, that they're allowed to do that.
Okay. You're against fair housing laws. All right.
Yeah, and number two, though, what I'm also... would ask you is, mm-hmm. do you think that the Constitution, or do you think that the federal government currently has extended its powers beyond the Constitution?
Well, you'd have to give me specific instances. In some ways, absolutely. For example, the fact that the president can unilaterally declare war is, I think, way beyond the Constitution. The fact that he's spying on so many Americans without getting a warrant, way beyond the Constitution. But I suspect that's not the examples that you're thinking of. So
well,
maybe give me a specific example.
How about something similar? Well, first off, I'm not aware that he declared war on anybody. But second,
he made war.
Here's a real simple question. How about, say, the freeway system?
Okay.
Do you think that is supported by the Constitution?
Absolutely. Interstate commerce regulation.
Okay, but all the court cases leading up to FDR said differently.
I disagree with them.
Well, see, there we are. So you have a disagreement, I have a disagreement.
That's fine.
I think it would have been better for the states to organize that themselves. And I think
to organize the interstate themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that they're fully capable of that in that we do have roads in states.
I don't know. I could imagine where Arizona and New Mexico, and Arizona wants the northern route and New Mexico wants the southern route, and they just don't meet. That could get pretty ugly. But I think we're going far afield.
That doesn't have to do – well, it's sort of right on point in that we're talking about application of federal law to states. This is where these rights are coming from.
Under the California Constitution is where the California Supreme Court found the right of gay people to get married. They didn't find it under the U.S. Constitution at all.
Currently, I agree.
Right.
The previous example you gave is what I was referring
right.
to.
That's true.
So I think, that it's not hard to find rights if you're looking for them. I could make up all kinds of rights, and it's not hard to find.
Do you support in general the proposition of equal rights under the law, or do you think that the government has a right to say,
minority? I support, absolutely. Just like
okay.
you, I support equal rights under the law.
Well, if equal rights under the law means anything, doesn't it mean, to quote Perez v. Sharp, the right to marry is the right to join a marriage with the person of one's choice? I mean, it does give a few exceptions, to be clear. For example, it says that the state has the right to prevent marriages that might cause disease. Okay, you can take blood tests, and you could prevent incest and things like that for that reason. But apart from reasons of disease, should the person be able to marry the person of one's choice or not?
How about this? Do you think two gay men that both have AIDS should be allowed to marry?
Well, you know, I personally, I think if people practice safe sex, then they can do whatever they want. If the state wanted to ban people from having unsafe sex or people who, you know, from, you know, that's, I think, within the state's right to do that.
But they decided that sodomy was unsafe sex?
I mean, I don't know. Do you think the state can ban a man and a woman who both have AIDS from marrying each other?
I think they should.
Okay. What do you think the state can should be able to stop prisoners from marrying? Because there's a very famous U.S. Supreme Court case that said that even a guy on death row can get married to the person of his choice. So it seems to me like the courts in those states that don't allow gay people to get married are basically saying that people on death row have more rights than law-abiding gay citizens who haven't committed any crimes.
You would think that if you stuck with your definitions, but like I said over and over again, marriage, a gay person does have the right to get married. They just got to get married to...
To whom?
Somebody of the opposite sex.
Okay, a straight person or a gay person? I'm just trying to understand
any
here.
Any person. That's called equal.
Any person. I don't know whether you have children or not, but if you do,
yeah, I do.
Okay. If you have a daughter, would you think that she should marry a gay man, or would you say, you know what, I don't think that's a good idea for a straight, assuming your daughter's straight, that she should marry a gay boy?
I would think that would be a real bad idea.
I agree with you. I think it'd be a terrible idea. I've even done a show a few months ago on these gay straight marriages following the Larry Craig incident that showed that they're real serious problems there for both the gay person and the straight person. In essence, what you're saying is that gay people shouldn't marry at all, and there we get back to our original problem. It is that you think that for some reason blacks should be able to marry whites. I agree with you, by the way, but that even though they can marry blacks, all they want. This argument was made in Perez v. Sharp. It was made in Loving Virginia. Blacks can marry any black person they want. They just can't marry whites. And the court said no, that's
Isn't it fair. The example that you gave, why don't you tell me the flaw in that example?
Which example?
You've pointed out some flaws in my analogies, which I didn't see, but I'm pointing out a flaw in your example.
Okay.
Or I'm asking you what you think. You don't see any flaw in it at all.
A flaw in what? In miscegenation laws?
A white person that I think a white person should be allowed to marry a black person.
As do I.
But I don't think that a gay person or gay man should be able to marry a gay man.
Right, and I don't see any
any
reason
one,
why you
yeah.
you can
oh, okay,
put
so
those
I'll
together.
The example is one is a choice of lifestyle, and one is what you're born with.
Okay,
that's the
so
example.
All
that's
those
why
scientific
your
theories that say that people are born gay, you reject those, and based on your beliefs that
well,
those things are wrong.
That is, it wouldn't be hard to debate both sides of that.
Well, you know, it's interesting because
it's been debated both sides.
Now, let me just be clear, because as much as you will find a few studies that say that being gay is a choice, I guarantee you I can find you more studies. In fact, I can find thousands of studies. In Perez v. Sharp, they cite over 100 studies from the 1860s well into the 1950s that will tell you that blacks are inferior to whites. I can show you,
you know,
hundreds
Jeremiah
of studies.
Jeremiah Wright just said it today, a week or so ago. That blacks are different, he used that term, than whites.
Well,
they learn different.
Well, yes, he did.
If
so
a white
racism,
person said that, there'd be hell in the streets.
I think it's fair to say that neither you nor I agree with Jeremiah Wright. But my point is this. There are hundreds of studies justifying racism. And frankly, I have an Encyclopedia Britannica from 1911.
The powers that be back then supported it. And when did slavery end in America? I mean, it wasn't but the Civil
1870?
War, which is a very short time ago. Slavery ended in Britain just a blink before that. Slavery prior to that had gone on forever.
Yes, so, and in fact, it's interesting when you talk about the right of marriage. Married women did not have property rights until the 20th century. Prior to that time, if a woman married a man, her property became his property.
And that's the way it was done for thousands of years.
Don't you think that that's the way, because that's the way it was done for thousands of years, that by definition makes it right?
Wouldn't that be a great example of progress? And yet, in our country where there's been great progress in many, many different areas, other countries are held up as better examples.
Bruce, I want to give our listeners a chance to join in this discussion. I know they want to do that. Let me give out the phone numbers. It's 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. I just wanted to give everyone a taste for my guest, and then by all means, feel free to put in your own two cents. 877-443-2366. Bruce, I guess what I'm trying to understand is this. You seem to think that being gay is a choice.
Yes.
And that therefore,
I'll even clarify.
When did you choose to be straight, Bruce?
How old were you? I think it's actually a neurosis.
Okay. When did you choose to be straight?
Did you ever read the book called The Myth of Neurosis?
No, I haven't. But I just want to know when you chose to be straight. Sexual orientation is a choice, right?
Well read.
I haven't read that one, I'll tell you, but I just want to answer my question. Did you choose to be straight?
No, you need to answer mine first.
Okay, I haven't read your book.
Let me make my point. My point is that I do think that it is a neurosis. It is something that people, and neurosis could be defined as failure to deal with life's problems, succumbing to temptation. And I think people that choose that lifestyle simply have chosen that lifestyle.
Did you choose to be straight, sir?
I suppose I did. How about you?
When did you make that choice? No, I guarantee you my sexual orientation was not one of conscious choice. I didn't make any choice, but you apparently did. You made a conscious choice. You sat down and said, here's what it's like to be straight. Here's what it's like to be gay. I'm going to choose to be straight. Did you do that, sir?
How old are you?
I'm 42 years old.
Okay, so if you're 42 years old, you were not battered with this issue when you were growing up, and neither was I. And I'm a bit older than you, but not much. I'm 49. But
my question is,
so
was it a conscious choice for you?
It wasn't even. I don't believe it was. No.
What I'm trying to understand is, I think it is
a conscious choice for somebody to choose the alternative lifestyle.
Okay. So just so I understand what you're arguing, just to be very clear, what you're saying is this: you're saying that straight people don't choose to be straight, but gay people do choose to be gay. That's what you're saying. That sexual orientation for straight people is genetic. It's instinctual. It's just the way it happens. But gay people, what they do is they're instinctually attracted to the other sex. They really want the other sex, and they say, you know what? Even though I really want the other sex, I am going to make this choice, and I'm going to say no. I'm against that. And then they choose to be gay against their better instincts? Is that your argument? I just want to understand it.
You say it in a way that makes me laugh almost, but actually you're correct. Wait a second. I think that there's a lot of temptations that people experience in their lives, whether it's something as simple as they just have to put the pedal to the metal on the car, no matter what the consequences, end up in a motorcycle wreck, end up in a car wreck, or whether they just have to have another drink, or whether they just have to smoke dope or do peyote or snort coke. There's a lot of choices that people make, and some of them are good and some of them are bad. And some of them do them harm and some of them don't. And I think
do you have a preference on chocolate or vanilla ice cream? What's I that? Like chocolate. Do you have a preference over chocolate or vanilla ice cream?
I'm trying to cut down on ice cream, honestly.
No, I'm just trying to understand. I like chocolate better than vanilla. I like them both, but I prefer chocolate. And you know what? I don't think I ever made a conscious choice. Some people but like these, blondes. Those, some like brunette. Are, some like those women
are,
with...
Those are bad choices because they're not resulting in something that's potentially destructive to their own life.
Okay.
But,
so you believe...
My example was because I realized I'm getting fat... And I need to cut back on certain things.
Okay, so you think that if two gay people love each other, let's look at Phyllis Lyon and Del Martin. They're in their 80s. They've been together for more than 50 years in California, built a home together, built a life together, built a family together for more than 50 years. You think that that is more destructive than forcing these two women against their will to marry straight men so that they can have loveless marriages. That, you think, is what the state should force them to do, right? Or you think the state should make them stay by themselves for the rest of their lives. Which is that?
Number one, I don't think the state, the evil Bush Empire, is forcing anybody to do something that they don't want to do.
You're forcing them to remain marriageless all their lives, right? Isn't that what you think they should do?
That's not forcing them to do something. That's forcing them to not be allowed to do something.
Right. It'd be like telling Mildred and Richard Loving, sorry, you just can't get married. You're black. She's white. It's not proper. It would be like that.
I don't know who you're talking about.
I'm talking about Mildred and Richard Loving were the couple that got married in the famous case of Loving v. Virginia. The ones that they were forbidden by the state law of Virginia to get married, and they brought the case that became the 1967 Loving v. Virginia case. In fact, Mildred Loving died just a couple weeks ago.
Do you support polygamy?
Do I support polygamy? I do. I think the state has every right to ban polygamy, and I'll tell you why. Because I think the 14th Amendment and state constitutions protect equal rights under the law. And there's a number of marriage benefits, more than 1,000, where you have the right to give your spouse, one spouse, rights, whether it's Social Security or tax benefits or whatever it is. If you start allowing polygamy, then polygamists will be allowed to have 2 or 3 or 5 or 10 times the rights as anybody else. That's not equal rights under the law. That's favoring a group over another group. So, no, I think the state does have the right to ban polygamy.
First off, and I do not see the difference between two gay people getting married and polygamy. But I think it's interesting.
You don't?
No, I don't. And I think,
let me suggest a difference.
Whoa.
Two is greater than one.
Interesting that you're using an analogy that they're gaining something more than other people have.
Right.
And I think that the that the gay marriage is gaining something that other people don't have.
What?
So, in other words, they have
Tell
the
me
right
what?
To get married right now, but that right is restricted between a man and a woman. They want to do something else.
They don't have
they
the right to marry the person of their choice. No, wait. Let's just be clear what the right is, because Perez
yeah,
Sharp
the
defined
right to marry the,
it as the right
the
to marry
with their choice either, or they don't have the right to. They don't have a. We don't have a lot of rights because those aren't rights.
Perez v. Sharp says, by the way, let me give you a case that's older than Perez v. Sharp. This is a case from 1923, which is quoted in there, and it says that it's a United States Supreme Court case. This is from Meyer v. Nebraska. It says, without doubt, the Constitution – let me get the exact thing here. The Due Process Clause protects an area of personal liberty. Without doubt, it denotes not merely freedom from bodily restraint, but also the right of the individual to contract, to engage in any of the common occupations of life, to acquire useful knowledge, to marry, establish a home, and bring up children, to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience, and generally to enjoy those privileges long recognized at common law as essential to the orderly pursuit of happiness by free men. That's from 1923. You disagree with that?
I disagree with how you're putting a spin on it. Yeah, I think the common rights, I don't think this is a common right. There's been very, very, very few societies that have allowed gay marriage until perhaps just recently. The other thing is,
there are very few societies that allowed either blacks and whites to marry until recently, or actually gave married women rights to own property until recently.
That's not my point, though. The point is that you're saying this is a common right, and the fact is it wasn't.
What I'm saying is it's equality under the law.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
You're saying something that's been around forever and the court's recognizing it, and that's not the fact. The other thing is the term long recognized. This isn't something that's been long recognized. It is brand spanking new on the world scene.
Right.
And so I would disagree with you.
Well, when you say that something is brand spanking new, is something new wrong? For example, when we ended slavery, that was certainly new. And slavery had existed for thousands of years throughout human history. Can we both agree that merely because something has existed for thousands of years does not make it right? Can we agree on that?
Sure, absolutely.
So that's not an argument.
The twist on long recognized or common is it's just got to be clarified.
Let me ask you this, Bruce. To what extent is your personal view really about theocracy, taking your religious view and wanting to impose it on those that don't share your religious view?
How about I ask you the same question? What is it, to what extent do you want to impose your liberal views on the rest of us that don't want it?
I believe in equality under the law. I think that the 14th Amendment is good. I don't want to abolish the 14th Amendment. That's my answer.
I agree with everything you said. Just that.
Okay.
So
if you believe in equality under the law for all straight people, but not for gay people, because you think straight people can marry the person of their choice, but gay people can't, right?
No, I didn't say that. I said they do have the right to get married. They just don't have the
to
right.
To someone they don't want to marry. Just like Mildred Loving could have married any nice black man in Virginia. Right, she could have. You're absolutely right. And gay people can marry any straight people, but you wouldn't advocate those marriages because we all agree they turn out badly. And you certainly wouldn't want your daughter to marry a gay person if your daughter's straight. So basically, gay people can do any right that they really don't want. It's kind of like saying that, you know what, gay people, you can marry any person in Nepal. And if there's no people in Nepal in the United States, well, then you just can't get married. You're offering them a non-existent, non-applicable right. Fair enough?
Pretty dang close, except for, people can change, and they do.
You know, I will agree with you that there are certain people who are what they call bisexual, people who perhaps are more enlightened than straight or gay people, and that they can form sexual attractions to people of either sex. Do those people exist? No question they do. I don't think there's that many of them compared to straight people or even compared to gay people, but they definitely exist. My question is with someone who's gay, not bisexual. Now, what you're saying, in effect, is that you know them better than they know themselves, that even though they insist it's not a choice, and even though you insist in your personal life it's not a choice, that you know that they made a conscious choice, and based on your view, which I suppose is a religious view, you're going to impose that on them. Right?
No, I think it goes well beyond that. You make confident assertions of studies and so on, and I just think that there's plenty of other studies that show the other side, and it's not a matter of, this study, there's 22 studies over on this side, and there's only 3 on that side. I think any kind of proper sociological, analysis, proper pool of people to study, on and on and on, basic research methods would say that, well, maybe of those 22 studies that you're citing, 18 of them aren't any good.
Why do studies matter at all? Right now we say it is against the law to discriminate on the basis of religion. Okay, you can't choose your race, you can choose your religion. And yet we have this holding that just because someone is of a different religion, you can't fire them because of their religion unless it relates, to, unless you have a religious job. But if you have a normal job where it doesn't affect their job, you can't fire someone based on religion. You can't say that two people can't get married based on religion. The Catholic Church can say that. They can say, we will only marry Catholics. That's their right. But the state can't say that. Do you think that that's wrong, that the state should be able to discriminate on the basis of religion?
No, I support the First Amendment.
Okay. Why is sexual orientation different in your view? Even if it is a choice, which I don't think it is. If it were a choice, why should still the state be able to discriminate?
Why should people of that persuasion be fighting so hard to destroy
for equality?
That it's not equality.
I know. Why did Martin Luther King fight so hard? I mean, he was of that black persuasion. He should have just accepted second-class citizenship, gone and whistled Dixie, and picked cotton like he was supposed to.
Didn't you love it that most liberals today are extreme pathological Democrats, and it turns out that Martin Luther King is a Republican? I think
yeah, because the Republicans freed the slaves, but that gets off my issue.
The party that I'm part of has been the party of freedom, has been the party of liberty, has been
it's
the party
it's a separate issue. We all know the party of
system.
And we all know that Abe Lincoln would not be part of your party today. But let me go back to our question.
I'm not sure if he would, but I'm sure Thomas Jefferson wouldn't be part of yours.
Let me ask you this. You asked me, why do gay people want equal rights? Asked me?
No, I didn't.
I would say that every American
why would they want to extend their rights into or extend their desires into something that why would they want to create a new right? How about that?
Hold on. What new right? What they want is equality under the law. Okay, that's
no,
what
they
want.
Don't. They want a new.
What's the new right that they want? They want the right to marry the person of their choice.
Yeah, they want to get married to the person of their choice, which would
right.
be, in this case now, specifically, somebody of the same gender.
Getting married to the
that's
person
a
of
new
your
right.
choice.
That's
as we've, as we're clear, from Perez v. Sharp in 1948 and Loving v. Virginia in 1967 is not a new right. In fact, it is well established in U.S. law. In fact, it was Perez v. Sharp that formed the basis
if
for the current California Supreme Court decision.
It would be happening right now. The fact
right,
is
and that's,
not well
And I have to say, your argument was exactly made by the dissent in Perez v. Sharp. The dissent in Perez v. Sharp said no state, not a single state in the United States in 1948 has overturned a ban of interracial marriage. 30 states have made the ban. Race mixing, it's understand by scientific precedent.
You know, I'm not even saying any of that.
I'm sure you are. You said all of that.
No, I didn't. What I said is that you're trying to say that this right to gay marriage has been alive since this Perez case. And I'm saying
what I'm saying is the
no,
right to marry
wasn't.
The person of one's choice
no,
has been alive since the Perez case. And that's exactly how they quoted it, both in Perez and in the marriage cases on the California Supreme Court.
Okay, were those two cases, when they quoted it like that, facts are important. Were they dealing with two gay people?
No.
Okay, well,
they were dealing
go.
With miscegenation statutes.
If you have facts that change, then you can't use the same argument. You can't use the same quote. It's two different things.
The whole idea of gay marriage
is brand new.
And
to try and say you can marry anybody you want and then analogize that then I can marry, the two guys can get married, is something that they weren't even talking about.
That's true. You're absolutely right. And you know what? When Thomas Jefferson said that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, he wasn't talking about women. He wasn't talking about African Americans. He wasn't talking about white men that didn't own property, in fact. But his ringing institution, that all men are created equal, has been understood today to include women, to include African Americans, to include even gay people. Because
you know
Thomas
what?
Jefferson
was
even brighter than
it.
He thought he was.
Thomas Jefferson and a good percentage of the founding fathers recognized the evil of slavery and wanted to get rid of it. They were caught in a predicament of compromise that turned out to be rather bloody after less than 100 years.
Did Thomas Jefferson include women, you think?
I don't believe that when Thomas Jefferson when he wrote that, I don't believe he was thinking, well, blacks are three-fifths of the person, they don't really count.
Bruce, do you think that the Declaration of Independence, which says all men are created equal, does that apply to women, in your view?
Do you think it does?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
even if Thomas Jefferson didn't mean it that way. Even
yeah.
if Thomas Jefferson didn't mean it that way, I think it does.
Strangely enough, I think he did mean it that way. And I do obviously think that as well.
Well, but we all know that women couldn't vote at the time that was written. We all know that women didn't have equal rights. That in fact, marriage was seen as an institution to make women's property part of men's property. And until the Married Women's Emancipation Act of the 20th century, marriage, in fact, has changed fundamentally. I think you have to agree for thousands of years
no,
from a time.
I don't agree that marriage was seen as a strategy to steal women's property.
Well, steal women's property, no, but it was understood to be a merger, man and woman, into one entity where the woman would be subservient to the man. That is how marriage was viewed for centuries. In fact, if you go back to biblical times, one, polygamy was allowed. Two, you could actually buy a woman for so many goats. Speaking of analogizing people to animals, you could. We have in the Bible examples, right? I mean, you can actually purchase your woman for so many sheep and goats. That's how marriage originally was viewed. But after time, we have progressed as a nation where we understand marriage to be about creating a family, about loving the person of your choice. Can we agree that marriage has changed over time?
I think there's still a substantial financial element going on. I don't think it's the same thing. But the idea of a dowry, the idea in the Old West that you're not going to get married until you can own a gun or to have a gun and have your own horse with a saddle on it, means that I'm able to trust my daughter to somebody who has means. And I think having means has always been important. And yes, I do think that marriage has changed over time.
Good. I agree with you. It has changed over time.
Yeah,
Let me just ask this. We only have a few minutes left, and I really appreciate your coming here and undertaking my withering questioning, and I realize that I've been tough on you, and we do disagree. But let me just understand, as a fundamental conservative principle, I think that you and I would agree to these general principles, which basically says the government shouldn't be interfering in our private lives. It shouldn't be deciding private questions like you would say whether we wear a helmet or a motorcycle. I would say that the question of who we marry is actually more fundamental and more important to the average individual human being than whether or not they wear a helmet or a seatbelt. And then on that fundamental question, who we decide to marry, the government shouldn't be playing a role. Why isn't that a conservative principle?
Well, because as a general concept, I totally agree with you. Okay.
Okay. Why am I wrong in the specific?
I think because what you did was you launched from a general principle that is very sound, and that is that we shouldn't be interfering with people, generally speaking, in their private lives. I agree with that.
Okay.
See, this marriage, this is the whole thing. This is not private. And so
it's not private, choosing who you want to marry?
Very much not private, especially in the way it's been fought, the way it's been promoted, the way it's been in your face, and the way it'll continue to go. Have you ever...
just to be clear, if the ban went away, then no one would have to be in anyone's face. I mean, Martin Luther King wouldn't have been in anyone's face if blacks had been treated equally to whites. Mildred and Richard Loving wouldn't have sued anybody if there weren't a ban on miscegenation. Once the ban on same-sex marriages is lifted, no one has to get in anyone's face. People can go about their life.
Yeah, but I don't agree. I think this is the kind of fundamental fight that is just simply going to go on and take on new aspects, just as it has been over the last 30 or so years,
Bruce, I have a prediction for you.
Public.
I have a prediction
so
for you.
I don't agree it's private. I think it's public.
20 years after the California Supreme Court struck down miscegenation laws, 20 years later, the Supreme Court struck them down across the country. Let me do a prediction for you. In 20 years from the Massachusetts decision, so in about 15 years from today, that the right of gay people to get married will be in every state in the nation. You may disagree on the time frame. Maybe you'll think it'd be 20 or 30 years. But do you disagree with me that that's going to happen?
Well,
young people get it.
Two comments to that. I'm not sure if they do, but 61% of the people in California voted in favor of
8 years ago
the initiative. Exactly, and they
and already the polls are closer.
Pretty dang quick.
We're at 50-50 in 8 years. Now those polls have changed from 62-38, which you're accurate about.
One 50-50. Was a poll, one was a vote. You can't compare polling and voting. The second thing relative to your prediction is, I think you're wrong, and I don't think it'll come true. And I think it's very similar to Rousseau predicting that the Bible would be gone in 100 years or 20 years, whatever he predicted.
I appreciate your coming on my show and channeling with me. As I said already, I think times have changed in California. And I have to say, I think you're on the wrong side of history, because young people are not as prejudiced against gay people as people of a certain age are. And so 20, 30, 40 years from now, I think we'll have equality under the law. But I appreciate you're willing to come on my show, to come into the lion's den, and to defend your point of view. Bruce Hawkins, thank you for coming here on the Inside Scoop. All right, that's a wrap. Tomorrow, folks, I've got Cliff Schechter. He is the author of The Real McCain. We're going to talk about John McCain and some things that he's done. For now, this is Mark Levine signing off.